Ephesians 4, 1-16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from John chapter 6, verses 24 to 35, page 1070 in the Pew Bibles and page 1888 in the big print Bibles. So that's John 6, beginning at verse 24. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe it? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of the Lord.
Interesting preaching at two churches in the morning, Chilton and Harwell. They can be very different, and it's lovely to see you all here this morning. It's also a little bit nerve-wracking for me to begin with, because apart from Jonathan looking at me from the corner over there, I have my son-in-law in the congregation, and my son-in-law happens to teach theology at Cambridge. So it's always a bit awesome when he's there, because I know at supper time, lunchtime, I shall have what I've said and say, "Gene, why did you say that?" Or, "Ooh." So I've embarrassed him now, thoroughly and truly. But anyway, it's great to see the family here this morning, and it's lovely to see everybody else here. And some of the children, have any of you heard my... You weren't at Chilton, were you? No, that's right. I think they've gone into the other classes. Some of the Peter Shields children have gone over to Kids Church. So this morning, who would have a guess at what the sermon's going to be about? Anybody? Bread, yes, well done. So I have here want to come and take it out for me? Caitlin? Do you want to take it out for me? Yeah. Great. Do you want to put on the thing? And do you want to hold it up for me? Do you want to put it in the board? Then if people eat it later, that's fine. Right. So, a loaf of bread. Who knows what goes into a loaf of bread? Any idea? Flour. Water. Yes?
Yeast.
Sugar. Salt. And what else goes in? Hard work? Yes, absolutely. Now, this is a loaf. Where do you think that loaf came from? Sorry? Any ideas where the loaf came from? I didn't make it, no. Who else might have made it? The gentleman on my left here. He was given a bread maker when he reached a certain age many, many years ago, and he's now solely responsible for making the bread in the family. Actually, somebody in Chiltern said it had come from Sainsbury, so I wasn't really sure about that. As Peter said, it's a bit uneven for coming from Sainsbury. So thank you very much, Caitlin. That's absolutely great. Thank you very much for holding that. That's fantastic to do that. So why is bread so important? Why is bread so important? Yes, do you like bread? What's he saying? Is he saying it's energy? Yeah. Something like that. So bread is where we get energy. We wouldn't be able to move around unless we had energy. We need energy to keep warm and to move. We need the energy released when sugars undergo a very big word. Does anybody know what that big word is? I didn't know it. My husband had to explain it in great detail. When sugars undergo respiration, it's a very big word, isn't it? I'm not going to explain it now. You can ask Peter afterwards. He'll do it much better than me. And sugars come from the digestion of the carbohydrates. Bread is a major source of carbohydrates in our diet, and very probably was much more so in the diet of those living in Jesus' time. Now, everybody sat there long enough. Does anybody want a little bit of bread, or are you not hungry? Anybody want a bit? No? No? Oh, all right, fine. Half a loaf went in Chiltern. Fine, no probs. And we had an Old Testament reading today about the, which wasn't actually read out, about the Israelites complaining. Now, some of you remember the story of Joseph and the multicoloured coat. And the brothers got very jealous of him because his father liked him. And he was eventually sold to people who lived in Egypt. The brothers got rid of him and sold him. And he went to live in Egypt, and he eventually became very important and ruled over the land. And many years later, there was a big famine in Israel. And they knew they could get meat and food in Egypt. So they all went to Egypt, and when they got to Egypt, the brothers eventually met up with Joseph, and then they stayed eventually, and they stayed there for many, many, many years. But eventually the Egyptians got fed up with them, and they started using them as slaves, ill-treated, and they were oppressed, and they got fed up with it. They got very bitter, said, God, what are you doing to us? Why is this happening? Do something about it. And Moses eventually, through Moses' leadership, they were freed from Egypt. And they must have been so relieved to be free of that hard labour that they had endured. But, as some of you may well know from the story, after that initial feeling of freedom, when things didn't go quite as they expected, they all started to grumble. Now, do any of us grumble when things don't go quite? There's a few nods around the place, I'm delighted to see. When things don't go quite as we expect, we can grumble, and we don't like it. And they began to say, oh, our lives are much better when we were in slavery in Egypt. We much preferred that. We'd much rather go back to Egypt. And they grumbled, and they complained to their leaders. I wonder if any of us do that when things are not going the way that we want them to go. Or do we look back and say, the situation was much better before all the changes and before all the upheaval? But the amazing thing is that God heard those Israelites complaining and he asked them to draw near, to come near. They did, and they saw what God could do. He provided their needs by sending them quails. Quails, do you know what quails are? Birds, thank you. There's some moths down here as well, so that's good. And in the morning, a fine flaky substance, just like frost. And the people said, what is it? What is it? And the Hebrew word for what is it is manna. So ever since, we have called that manna in the wilderness. What is it? But Moses told them that it was from God. God cares. God asked the people to draw near. They responded, and God was able to feed them. So as we said, bread is the food from which we get energy. And without energy, we couldn't stay alive. We need energy to keep warm. Not we need to keep warm at the moment, do we? But sometimes in church we need to keep warm and to move about. And for it to be any use, what do we have to do? We have to eat it. We actually have to eat it. It's no good just baking a loaf, having it sit there, or buying one, just looking at it. That won't do us any good at all. Nobody changed their minds about a slice of bread? You have. Oh, come on then, Caitlin. That's fine. You want a whole slice or half? Half. There we go. There we are. There's one sensible girl. Oh. Here we are. Oh, here we are. Here we are. Let him come and get it. Here we are. That's all right. Oh, I'm glad somebody's sensible. Okay. Brilliant. Oh, right. There we are. Thank you. That's all right. I'm sorry there's no butter to go on it. Brilliant. No grown-ups. No, not feeling hungry. Right, okay, fair enough. So we can eat it. So it's quite that whole business of what are we going to do with the spiritual bread of life. We actually need to receive it. We need to take it into ourselves, not just to look at it at a distance. And we need to be sustained by it. To give us energy and all the things that we need. So what does that mean? First of all, it means accepting Jesus' unique role. Jesus came that we might have life. That was the whole purpose in coming. He gave his life on that cross so that we might live. And by accepting him by faith into our lives and committing ourselves to him, both as individuals and as the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit will sustain us in that relationship with God day by day, if we continually allow ourselves to be fed. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Through him, there is a new friendship with God. It's a friendship of trust, closeness, obedience and love, but it's a friendship only made possible by Jesus. Without him, no one can enter into the new friendship at all. Putting it another way, Jesus gives us spiritual life. With him, we can have life in the fullest sense. Once we know him, all our unsatisfied longings, all the insatiable desires of our hearts and souls are able to be taken away. They can. He can deal with them. He took something very familiar to his hearers, the eating of bread, to help his hearers understand about the importance of who he was and what he was about to do for those who listen to him, and take on board what he's saying to them about their spiritual life and growth. The listening is essential for our spiritual living and growing, just as eating bread is essential if our physical bodies are to live and grow. As we feed on the bread of life, we grow as members of Christ's body. This is a process which we develop, we work together properly, so that the body continues to grow in love, grow in numbers, grow. If we belong to Christ, there is only one body, but that body has many different parts to enable it to function effectively. God has put us together for a purpose as the body of Christ. So we need to know each other, understand each other's gifts and the gifts that we have. I wonder how many of us, I won't ask you to put up your hands, but I wonder how many of you know what gifts you have. Are you using the gifts that God has given you, whatever age you are? Whether you are, is it young? I think Thomas is the youngest one, isn't he? Yes. I'm not quite sure who's the oldest one. No, oh, there's a young one over there. Hi there. I don't know who's the oldest, and I'm not going to ask who's the oldest, but whatever age you are, God can use the gifts that you have given to God has given to you. Are they being used for the building up of the body of Christ? Do you know a gift of someone that they are not using? If so, tell them. Tell them, X, you can do blank. There's a whole range of things that we can do. So how do we feed on the bread of life? One way, of course, is by coming to church, listening to God's word, praising him, listening to what he's saying to us and acting on what he says to us. And make no mistake, God does speak to us. We might not always recognize it. We might not always hear it. We might not always understand. But he does speak. We can feed on the bread of life by reading our Bibles a little bit each day and seeking to understand what God is saying through his word. That could be a new resolution for each one of us, to read our Bibles each day, somehow, somewhere, so that we can understand. And we feed on the bread of life by listening to God in prayer. One of our gifts might be praying and bringing to him our lives and the lives of those we come in contact. We feed on the bread of life by meeting together, by encouraging one another, as well as to hear what God is saying to us through his word in the Bible, and praying with and for one another. And there are plenty of opportunities in Harwell and Chiltern to meet together during the week. Home groups meet every day, morning, not every day morning, afternoon, evening, but there are ones morning, afternoon and evening. There's the Evergreen group, there's a Harwell ladies group, there's a Chiltern All Saints women's group. There's a men's group that meets at the Rose and Crown in Chiltern once a month. There's a new science and faith group starting in the autumn. There are youth groups, pathfinders, kids' church, and there's fledglings where parents and children can meet together. Chiltern have a choir and we have music groups here. Have I left anybody out? Anybody can think of any groups I've forgotten, because I don't want you to say to me, Jean, you forgot. But there are lots of groups which we meet as Christians together, where we have fun, where we can share, where we can grow together and learn from one another. We need each other. We're not meant to be alone. We need each other to stop ourselves being tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. So if anyone here this morning feels that they would like to talk a bit more how they may more readily feed on the bread of life, please do have a word with someone from the ministry team or another friend who you know and trust. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life. That is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. So let us feed on that bread and enable the Holy Spirit to work within each one of us, so that each one of us with our different gifts can function as God would have us do, and so be used by him, so that the body of Christ in this place and further afield, wherever we are, will continue to grow. So reading from Ephesians, the words from Ephesians say, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I use the last two verses as we finish of the song we've just sung. Filled with my spirit, how you will grow. You are my branches, I am the tree. If you are faithful, others will know you are alive in me. Love one another. I have loved you, and I have shown you how to be free. Serve one another, and when you do it in love for me. Father, we thank you that we can eat of the bread of life. We pray that we may continually do so that others may come to know you, to follow you, and that people will come into your kingdom. We pray this for Christ's sake. Amen.